This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, let's talk about trolls. I'm talking about Fauci. We're going to get to Fauci. We're going to get to some airport stuff. We're going to get to speaking, the opter running on the Supreme Court, and many, many other things this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Bunch of emails and other stuff. Fauci spoke in front of Congress today. I know you've heard it. It's all anyone can talk about. And, well, there was all kinds of stuff there.
Do you agree that there was a push to downplay the lab leak theory?
Not on my part.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
I think most of the country would find that amazing. I still got 11 seconds.
Look at the facts. I've kept an open mind throughout the entire process.
We actually have the emails of Fauci downplaying the lab leak. We have it in writing. It's not any myth. Okay, so he's a liar there. And, well, he also abused children. I'll be honest, my blood pressure spiked when I heard this one, but then I calmed myself down, so I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to yell. My blood pressure spiked because I have so many horrible stories that you've emailed in to me about what happened to your children, the horrible things, the horrible results of what happened by your children being forced to wear masks and their teachers being forced to wear masks, the communication issues, special needs. Parents have emailed me, their children can't talk anymore. They were making great progress. Just lives ruined. And remember, we were told over and over again, put masks on the kids. Fauci's out there today, said, study? What? No study.
Going back to what I said before, all of that is in the context of, at the time, 4,000 to 5,000
people a day were dying. There's scientific evidence for that?
Excuse me?
Mask mandates for children under five, there's scientific evidence supporting that?
There was no study that did masks on kids before. You couldn't do the study. You had to respond to an epidemic that was killing 4,000 to 5,000 Americans.
Study? I don't know. Study? What? Well, there's that. And then remember how we reordered all of Western civilization over the concept of standing 6 feet away from each other? Yeah.
The issue of the 6 foot distance. And I made the statement that it just appeared. And that got taken at like, I don't know what's going on. It just appeared. It actually came from the CDC. The CDC was responsible for those kinds of guidelines for schools, not me. So when I said that it just appeared, it appeared. Was there any science behind it? What I meant by no science behind it is that there wasn't a controlled trial that said, compare 6 foot with 3 feet with 10 feet. So there wasn't that scientific evaluation of it. What I believe the CDC used for their reason to say 6 feet is that studies years ago showed that when you're dealing with droplets, which at the time that the CDC made that recommendation, it was felt that the transmission was primarily through droplet.
Oh, it was felt. We reordered all of Western civilization, and they don't have a clue why they did it. And there were some revealing moments today. This is one of the big ones. Just, wow.
In some respects, we are. But in others, I'm still disappointed. And I think one of the things that was really a problem with the response was the degree of divisiveness that we had in the country about a lack of a coherent response, where we were having people, for reasons that had nothing to do with public health or science, refusing to adhere to public health intervention measures. What I think that we will do better, hopefully, is that the CDC, I believe, has now recognized some of the failings of the lack of communication. And
it's always a lack of communication. Have you noticed that? You see this all the time. Biden administration is famous for this. Hey, Joe, why do people think the economy's bad? Well, I mean, we just haven't communicated it. You guys haven't told them how good it is yet. It's just what they're always saying. Remember, always remember this, because you hear this all the time from communists, from all these dirtballs. The problem is always you. That's what they're saying. That's a nice way of saying you're just too stupid to understand it. See, that's the problem. You're too stupid. But there's no apologies. There's no nothing.
Did or do the vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccine, stop anyone from getting COVID?
I answered that question to the chairman. Early on, it became clear that...
They didn't.
No, actually, no. In the beginning, it clearly prevented infection in a certain percentage of people, but the durability of its ability to prevent infection was not long. It was measured in months.
And they didn't stop you from spreading it either.
Early on, it did if it prevented infection. But what became clear that it did not prevent transmission when the...
Okay, he lied about everything. He goes on to whine about the threats and whatnot. I just don't care to hear that man's voice anymore. So we're going to stop that. And part of the reason we're going to stop that is this. I'm glad they brought Fauci in today to testify. I'm glad we got some sunlight on it. I am glad. It's not like today was bad. But again, this goes back to what we were talking about in the first hour when it comes to the Trump trial and the Alvin Braggs of the world and Democrats and the communists. What disincentive has been dropped in Fauci's lap? What has actually been done? Well, he had to testify in front of Congress. So? He doesn't care. He's going to leave there and go right back to his mansion. He's going to spend the rest of his days flying all over the planet in the most luxury travel accommodations you can possibly imagine, being whisked around the globe in first-class seats and private jets and steak dinners and Four Seasons hotels. He's a millionaire several times over, the largest pension in the history of the United States government. So the next Dr. Fauci who's out there, wherever he may be, what disincentive has he seen that would prevent him from abusing his power the way Fauci did? None. And so I see all these people today, they're all, I'm Fauci, I hate Fauci. Well, okay, you do, I do, but Norma don't. They went and elected every politician who followed Fauci's guidelines. Almost every one of them got reelected, almost every single one of them. And so, I mean, we heard things like this
today. You know what this committee should be doing? We should be recommending you to be prosecuted. We should be writing a criminal referral because you should be prosecuted for crimes against humanity. You belong in prison, Dr. Fauci.
Of course. Oh, she shouldn't say that. Oh, that's too far. But he does. But he's not going to go. At least unless I'm mistaken. Is there some pending indictment out there I haven't heard about? So what do we get out of it? Nothing. All right, let's get to some emails. I need to talk about airports too. But you know what? Let's get to this one. This one's titled WNBA. I forgot I was ranting against the WNBA before I left. He said, Jesse, sometimes you're so full of crap, and I know you don't give a crap. I'll watch the WNBA before the predictable NBA any day of the week. I know I'm in the minority, so on and so forth. They out-effort the men every week. College softball any day of the week over boring baseball games. You're so smart, and we're lucky to have you 97% of the time. But so far you go so far off, but sometimes you go so far off the beaten track and crash and burn. You're dragging your knuckles on the ground on this one. And his name is Dykes. So, Dykes, big fan of the WNBA. WNBA and Dykes go hand in hand. So, what, Chris? That's his name. And it's his friggin' name. I didn't say it's his name. What are you trying to imply, Chris? I just said his name. Whatever. Dykes, WNBA. Big fan. Jesse, I just listened to your Memorial Day show. I loved every minute. Thank you for doing it. Oh, I forgot to mention, in case you missed it, I was not gone every day last week. We did come in on Monday, and we did a Memorial Day show. It was no politics. We didn't even really do any humor. We didn't even goof off. I don't even think we played the fart sound. But it was just 3 hours. There weren't even ads. It was 3 hours of honoring the fallen, all kinds of history in there. So all you people who email me yelling at me all the time about, I need more history, I need more history, there's all kinds of it there. 3 hours honoring the fallen, reading their names, history stuff. If you missed that one, might be worth your time. It's on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Chris, it's on all there, all 3 hours, right? Okay, so it's all last Monday. What was the date on that, Chris? I don't have a calendar in front of me. Doesn't matter. Last Monday. It was at some point in time. Go download that. All right, we need to talk about how we speak. We're going to talk about language. We're going to address a little bit of this Pride Month garbage. We have somebody who needs talked off the ledge a little bit, the op against the Supreme Court. Before we do any of that, let's make some preparations, shall we? Some financial preparations. If you woke up today and checked out the New York Stock Exchange, maybe your heart went into your throat. Hey, we understand. You get it. I get it. That financially, it's going to be very rocky. The dollar's in serious trouble. They haven't stopped spending or printing. It's all going gangbusters like it always has. So we have to take steps to protect ourselves. That's all Oxford Gold is. That's how I look at Oxford Gold. They will take steps to help you get through whatever's coming. They'll get gold or silver coins in your physical possession. They'll get them in your 401k, your IRA. Call Oxford Gold Group. Don't send them an email. Call Oxford Gold Group and let them help you. 833-995-GOLD. All right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I have so missed being here, and it's time to have a discussion. We're going to talk this guy off the ledge in a moment, but we have to have a little bit more of a complicated discussion first. How complicated? Well, let me simplify it right off the bat.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
A winner, Chris. Anyway, let's have a talk about big government. I hate government. I'm very honest about that. Government sucks. Government should be teeny tiny because government's full of idiots. And government only knows how to abuse people and hurt people and kill people and screw everything up. So government should be teeny, teeny, tiny. People ask me, you know, which federal bureaucracy, which three-letter agency would you eliminate? All of them. Well, no, what about the CIA? Nope, they can go too. Nope, them too. No, but what about, yep, whoever you're about to say, yes, gone, goodbye. So I'm a small government guy. And, you know, you kind of have these self-assessments every now and then on what are you big government? What makes you big government? And here's how this almost always works. And if you're being honest with yourself, this probably applies to you. People become big government the second it's something they personally care about. It's almost universally true. Whatever your cause happens to be, whatever your thing is, you would kind of get on board with some government action to kind of get on there. Guy I know, and I'm not going to call him out by name because he's not here to defend himself and he's a friend of mine, but dude I know, he's a black dude and he's really a black activist. That's really what he is. Now we get along. He doesn't try to chirp at me with that stuff. That we'll argue, we'll debate about it, but he's my friend. You know, I'm his friend, he's my friend. But he considers himself to be a libertarian and in almost every possible way, he is libertarian to the point it would almost annoy you even if you're a libertarian. No matter what, he's like, no, no government, no government. Eliminate this, eliminate that, which is probably the reason we get along. He doesn't want any government at all. Eliminate all this, and so we get along. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I about came out of my chair after St. George Floyd died. You remember Tim Scott, because he's the low-T GOP's mascot, he decided to work with Cory Booker on federal police reform. Even wrap your mind around the concept of that. The federal government is going to start putting guidance and laws out for every police jurisdiction. Just the idea of it is insane. It's insane. Even if you tried to do that right, it would be insane. All policing should be local, handled by the cops locally, part of the community. Anyway, so it's this terrible big government idea, right? But my friend, the black activist, the hardcore libertarian, wanted government to be teeny tiny in every way. Almost immediately, he says, you know, I actually think the federal government might have a role to play in reforming the police department. Because he's a black activist. It's what he cared about. And what still, it's what he cares about. And so it's no government, no government, no government. What's that? Yeah, hey, get the feds involved. It's how people are. I'm no different. When I come up with things I'm passionate about, sometimes I feel like there should be some sort of government invention. And I discovered one in my travels. Just to clue you in case you didn't hear that, I don't remember if I already told you or elaborated on it. Remember, last year, my wife and I, we went up to New York City and we did the 9/11 Memorial Museum. It's just one of those things that I had heard was very powerful. I lived through 9/11, as everyone of a certain age did. I was in the Marines. I remember tears of rage pouring down my face, watching the towers fall in my barracks room. I've told you the story before. It's a day that has tremendous meaning for me. Tremendous meaning for me. So we went and did the museum, and it was, I know it sounds like such a corny, hippie word. I'm sorry to use it, but it was powerful. It is powerful. It is heavy. Even if you think you know, I remember, go. If you get a chance, if you're in New York City, go. You need to go see it. They really did a good job with it. Well, my sons are 13 and 15. Now, they know what 9/11 is, and they grew up in our house, so they have appreciation for it, kind of. But if you didn't live through it, how much appreciation can you really have for what that day meant? It's like me with Pearl Harbor, and I know all about Pearl Harbor. I don't know how many books I've read and podcasts, and Pearl Harbor means a lot to me. But it doesn't mean near as much to me as someone who was there or alive and you woke up one day and, wait, we were just attacked? It can't, because I wasn't there. I wasn't alive. So my sons, they could never get to where I felt they should get when it came to that day and what it meant. And so we wanted to feed them a couple good slices of pizza. Of course, it's New York City. We wanted them to do the 9/11 Memorial and the Statue of Liberty. These are historical things. We're trying to do as much historical stuff as possible. Civil War, whatever. So we go up to New York City last week. But we didn't drive. Obviously, we flew. And it's the flying that's actually going to bring me to my possible. I'm not even sure how I feel about it. I know you're probably going to get mad at me. Am I big government Jesse now? I'll explain why I'm possibly big government Jesse. Speaking of 9/11, I don't want to give away too much of it because I want you to see it. But part of the museum is they have a fire truck. And half of it's burnt and destroyed. And it's very heavy to watch, to look at. They have display cases of helmets firefighters wore that are destroyed. And the firefighter who wore the helmet was dead. One guy, I believe he was a rookie with the fire department, had left the NYPD to go be a fireman, charged into that building, lost his life. It's a lot. And remember, that's where Tunnel to Towers came from. That's where they came from. The Siller family, they gave up everything for this country. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation takes firefighter families, cop families, Gold Star families, and they care for these people when a hero charges into a burning building and loses his life. Your $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers, that's what you support. This isn't some scam organization playing off your emotions. Go look up their books. $11 a month is what they ask for. T2T.org. All right? T2T.org. I'll finish my story. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him. But he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't forget, you can email the show. Man, it's been packed. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Now, allow me to just give it to you. I feel like the United States military should staff America's airports. The United States military. You know what? We're going to make it the Marines because I'm obviously partial to the Marines. The United States Marine Corps should staff the airports. They should work in the little stores. They should be serving the burgers. The United States Marine Corps should be in charge of customer service, lost luggage. If you got to talk to somebody at the gate, it should be a United States Marine. And I'll go a step further. Obviously, you would need specially trained Marines. When you graduate Marine Corps boot camp, you go to one of two schools in general. Well, let me clarify. If you're in the infantry, you will leave boot camp and you will go to School of Infantry. That's where I went. I was a grunt. And you'll go do all kinds of things, learn how to shoot people and blow things up and stuff like that. If you're not in the infantry, you will go to some little, I think it was 10 days, some little kind of 10-day, very condensed little infantry training course. You shoot a couple guns, whatever. And then you move on to your specialty school. So if you signed up to be an aircraft mechanic, you will then leave and you'll go be trained in being an aircraft mechanic for the Marines. Makes sense? There should be a specialty airport school where you join the Marines and you go from there to the airport. Now, I'm going to clarify. Believe me, I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me, and I'll get back to my emails. Stay with me. Here's why. Here's why. Airports, the customer service in airports, the people who staff airports, it's not just a private thing. Not just a private business, free market thing. So you've got McDonald's in the airport and McDonald's hires the employee. There are actually national interests. In fact, you could argue national security interests in the people who work in the airport. And let me explain. I have done some travel internationally. I am not some wealthy world traveler. I've gone to Europe twice in recent years, but before that, it was, you know, traveling with the Marine Corps and the little things, but nothing major. But having done that, I've been through international airports. I've been through London. I've been through Hamburg, Germany. I've been through Tel Aviv. I have been through Tokyo. I've been through all kinds of places. I've been through Istanbul. We flew through Istanbul coming back from Israel. And here's the truth. The truth is, I have never in my life, while I respect their incredible history, the history of Turkey, you know, that's Ottoman Empire stuff. It really is a cool history. But I've never, ever, ever had Turkey on my top 10 list of places I would go visit if I could afford to go visit it. I've never had that. I've had all kinds of other countries. Turkey? I've never been on there. What do they even eat? Turkey? Turkey is now not only on my top 10 list, it's probably on my top 5, and I would venture I will go there within the next 10 years whenever we can afford it. The kids are out of school. You know how it works. Why? Why the change of heart for me? All we did was pass through the airport. The experience I had in Istanbul, Turkey's international airport, the one in Istanbul, what it did was it created in me an impression of that country that piqued my interest. It was flattering. It wasn't just the flowery images you saw on the wall. It was the politeness, the professionalism of the people who worked in the airport. if I was going in and buying some falafel or whatever it was over there, if I had to go up to the customer service counter, and I did, there was a problem with the ticket. We were sitting separate and we were supposed to be sitting together. It was, yes, Mr. Kelly. Of course, Mr. Kelly. How may I help you, Mr. Kelly? Oh, I'm so sorry about that, Mr. Kelly. How may I do that for you? What can I do for you, Mr. Kelly? My experience from the second we landed, and again, I never left the airport. From the second we landed to the second we took off, I got a positive experience of turkey, so much so that I want to return. And I'm not saying I'm some turkey fan. They got problems, but I'll tell you what, I'm intrigued. Passing through the airport. My experience in London, polar opposite. London, Heathrow, and all we did was pass through. Again, I never left the airport. I haven't been to London. We were just passing through. Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Unhelpful. Awful. Every step of the way. Leaving as we left London, leaving, I said to myself, gosh, between this and the food, why would I ever come back to this dump? And I'm actually a fan of England, the English people. I love them. I just always have. Don't think I ever want to go to London. When's the last time you flew in America? Let me ask you something. When you flew in America, what was your experience with the customer service in this country? In the United States of America, and again, I'm not Marco Polo. I haven't been all over the planet, but I've traveled a bit. In the United States of America, this is not a north-south thing. It applies to Houston. It applies to New York City. It applies to Philly. It applies to LAX. I fly through all these airports. In the United States of America, we have the rudest, most inhospitable hags working in our airport. And if I was an international traveler, if I'm a businessman flying from Japan, I've got to do a few days in New York. Or you know what? Forget that. I'm passing through. I'm landing in New York. I'm landing at LaGuardia. And I'm moving on. I've got some business in Toronto, Canada. I have a stopover in LaGuardia. And I've got 2 hours in LaGuardia where I'll go buy a cheeseburger and some chips. And maybe I'll get one of those neck pillow things, which are magnificent, by the way. But that's another story for another day. By the time I leave New York heading to Toronto, I have experienced such misery from the jerks who work in the airline to the jerks who work in customer service that I would never want to visit the United States of America again. If the only impression you have of the United States of America are the awful hags who work in the United States of America's airports, then you probably hate this country, and I wouldn't blame you at all. It is in the interest of national security, it is in our national interest that our airports, top to bottom, be employed? What? Why can't I figure out the word? Be filled with customer service people, both in the airlines, selling you chips, selling you neck pillows, of polite young men and women, yes, sir, no, sir, firm handshake, eye contact. Do you want some extra ketchup with your fries, sir? And I'm telling you, you can say I'm a nut, and I probably am a nut, and a government solution's probably the worst one. I just know the Marine Corps, if they did that school, they'd do it right. They would do that school right. But I am so, it's not that I'm even upset for me. I ignore the little rudeness, the little everybody has to treat you like a daggone pariah when you're just trying to get through security, you're trying to get on the airport. I'm not worried about that for me. I'm really genuinely not. It doesn't bother me at all. They snap at me. I snap back at them. It happened to us in Houston. We were passing through security. This old witch at security, she's got three masks on. She's talking to my son. Vop, vop, vop. And he says, I'm sorry, what? Vop, vop, vop. And he says, I'm sorry, what? She pulls down her mask and over with him. I said you could go to the gate. You know what? Yes, it made me mad. And yes, I may have said something to her that wasn't polite. But more than anything, it bummed me out that people from around the planet, they land, they pass through this country, and that's the impression they get of America. A bunch of lazy, tubby, mean hags who treat people like they're lepers. And it's bad, and it's bad for the country. There. Sorry, I had to get it off my chest. I'm moving on now. We will get back. We'll talk about the Supreme Court real quick and headlines and everything else. Chris, did I sound like a crotchety old man? Was that... It was? Michael, was that bad? If it, Michael and Chris think I just sound like a grumpy old man. Whatever. You guys, you know what? You guys will understand one day. You'll understand one day. And look, if you guys want your minds to be as sharp as mine, what you need is male vitality stacks from Chalk flowing through your veins. Maybe what it is, maybe you guys don't have the energy to fight back against the man. Maybe when that hag at the check-in counter, when she's snapping at you because your luggage comes in half a pound overweight, maybe you don't have the energy to fight back, but I do. Because I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. You understand that natural herbal supplements, 20% increase in your testosterone in just 90 days. You understand that that's right within your grasp, right? You want to feel better? You want to be in a better mood? You tired of being down, guys? You down a lot? Go get a male vitality stack from Chalk, chok.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a big discount. Go. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment with me, crotchety Jesse, upset about the staffing of United States airports. I think it reflects poorly on my country. You know what? I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I just have a... No, Chris, I'm coming back to it. I just have a couple things that I promised. First, I have to talk this guy off the ledge real quick. Dear Oracle, I'm an HVAC guy who's working really hard to start his own business. The hurdles are immense. The penalties for noncompliance are harsh. Our society makes it more difficult and risky than necessary for the average citizen to start his business, so on and so forth. I feel left behind and disenfranchised from my country and the American dream. I believe this is intentional and designed to demoralize myself and others like me who want to own their own labor. Please send me some message of hope because I'm losing all of mine. His name is Ben. He's an HVAC guy, 42. Listen to me, you entrepreneurs and budding entrepreneurs and wannabe entrepreneurs. I have not only done this in my own life, I watched my parents do this. My parents started their own construction company when I was graduating high school. I left the house, they started their own construction company. And they ended up doing very, very well for themselves, and they're retired now, and it all went well. My folks are retired, and they're rich and happy, and I'm good for them. Good for them, right? Good for them. But I watched all the years of struggle, of hardship, of not being able to pay the bills, of needing a loan. I watched what my parents went through. It's worth it. Even if you don't make it big in the end, they will speak about those days fondly. Yes, you are correct. This government tries to disincentivize small business because the government hates small business. Government has partnered with big business. Now they partner to destroy small business. Yes, all that's true. All that's true. You don't give up. You keep going and keep going and keep going. And let me tell you something, HVAC guy. The richest men I know, all trades, every one of them. They're plumbers, they're HVAC guys, they're electricians, they started their own small construction companies. The richest guys I know are not doctors and lawyers, and yes, I do know doctors and lawyers. They're guys who do exactly what you do. You're 42 years old. Email me back when you're 50 from your Mercedes in your mansion, because that's what you're going to be in. If you stick with it, you stay smart, you keep chopping away. Believe me, air conditioning and heat ain't about to go out of style. Trust me on that, all right? You keep on keeping on, and believe it or not, you will look back on these days fondly. Very, very fondly. That's one. Two, John Grisham, that author, went on The View and fantasized about murdering Supreme Court justices.
There's some scandals plaguing the Supreme Court. Do you have any thoughts on that? And yep, maybe write a book or ever make a movie out of that.
I wrote a great book called The Pelican Brief, in which two Supreme Court justices were assassinated.
I know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought about doing it again. And
No.
Ha 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 ha! Making jokes about that. Headline, Amy Coney Barrett's husband is representing Fox in a lawsuit. Just remember, they are running an op. The communists are running an op, an operation against the Supreme Court. If they are not pushed back, it will eventually win. They're going through the list of justices. You've already seen it. They will eventually win if they're not pushed back. But I need to circle back to the airport. I'm sorry. It's what, Chris? I can't let this go. Listen to me. This happened to me. I kid you not. Tell me that a Marine, specially trained in airport service, wouldn't have done a better job. I'm leaving Houston's airport one day. And you know how they have, if you've parked in the parking garage, they have the machines where you have to pay on the way out. This one, it had two machines that were open. All right, you with me? Two machines that were open. I'm in my car. I'm trying to leave the airport. I pull up to the first machine. It keeps spitting my credit card back. Okay, maybe it's my card. Maybe something's wrong. So I pull out my other credit card. I have two. Keeps spitting it back and spitting it back. Finally, I have to press the customer service button on there. And I say, is something broken? Yeah, we'll send someone up. I sit there for 20 minutes before some woman comes sauntering over at the speed of a slug. She comes up to my window and informs me that this one's broken. I said, okay, well, I need to leave. What do I do? Okay, well, you can back it up and go to the other one. Okay, no problem, no problem. I throw in reverse. She gets a couple cars out of the way. I back up. I pull up to the other one. Credit cards in, same thing. Spits them back out, spits them back out. I say, ma'am, this one's broken too. She's like, yeah, I don't know what to do then. And that was it. She just looked at me. I said, well, okay, well, I need to go home. I can't be a prisoner here in the airport. I need to leave. This is my only way out. Yeah, now I don't know what to do. No effort, no apology, no call on the manager. I'm big government Jesse when it comes to the airport. That's it, Chris. We need United States Marines out there. It's for the good of the nation. And it's for the good of the nation that you buy a Byrna pistol launcher and protect yourself. Remember, there are bad people everywhere. While I was in New York City with my family, believe me, we got in and got out, cop got shot. Byrna pistol launchers, they're non-lethal. They shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls. Everyone in your life should have one. They're legal in all 50 states. No permit needed, no background check needed. Over 14,000 four- and five-star reviews. They've sold 500,000 of these. SWAT teams are snatching them up faster than you can imagine. Byrna pistol launchers. Honestly, maybe the best part is practicing with the thing in the backyard. It's so much stupid fun. Go get one. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. Oh, and another thing the Marine Corps can teach the airport employees, how to talk. This is Alex Soros. What even is this?
We just heard this point about untrustworthy people, and we talked about things in the United States like checks and balances, which aren't written anywhere, but are customs. And one man, Donald Trump, literally came in and just took that all away. But when I see this,
are you kidding me? That man needs specialized. He needs Jesse's specialized Marine Corps training for airport employees. And speaking, what, Chris? This is an idea that can work. What, Chris? Have Chick-fil-A run it? Well, that's actually not a terrible idea. If you had Chick-fil-A run it, that's not a terrible idea. The problem is then you're getting into a big government private business partnership where you'd have to contract with the private employer. Now you're in TSA, and already we have to deal with TSA. The TSA agents couldn't stop anything. So we don't need another repeat of that. Then it would ruin Chick-fil-A if that happened. Anyway, we ran out of time before I got to headlines I didn't get to, but we're going to try to do those tomorrow, okay? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.